Take your Bible. Let's go, if you would. I was lost, man. He sent me this text. Pray for a youth camp. I'm going, what youth camp? My mind had already left that. So, Jeremiah chapter 17, all right? Jeremiah chapter 17. I hope you open your Bible there with us. I said this morning I needed you to pray for me. I want you to know the only way I was able to preach this morning is because God enabled me. I did not feel good. I was having problems. And so if you prayed, God answered that prayer, all right? And if you didn't, why weren't you? Okay? So I need that prayer for sure. Jeremiah chapter 17. One of the most well-known passages, probably in the Old Testament, definitely in Jeremiah, is here in chapter 17, all right? It's verse 9. Look, the Bible said the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? A well-known truth, great truth there. It's been preached on many times, and it ought to be preached on many more times. But I'm not preaching from there tonight, all right? Instead, I want you to back up and notice beginning really the four verses that are right in front of that verse, beginning in verse 5, all right? Notice the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and he shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Now I want you to notice especially verse 5. Says, cursed, all right, be the man. Cursed be the man. Then verse 7, blessed be the man. Blessed is the man. You know, you couldn't find two more opposite truths and opposite thoughts than that. I mean, the opposite of cursed and blessed, that's it, both the end of the spectrum, all right? They're at opposite ends. But you know, I read these verses and I think you don't need 4 to 8 years of theological training to understand what those verses say, do you? You just don't, all right? You don't have to go to a dictionary to decide which of the two you'd rather have. You ask any halfway intelligent person, he's going to say, I'd rather be blessed than cursed. I'd rather be blessed than cursed. Hey, just in casualness, I'd rather have somebody say, well, bless your heart, than to curse me. Amen. I don't like it if somebody wants to curse, all right? I mean, the foul language, I don't want that, all right? But man, of course, the Bible's not just talking about this foul language, but the curse of God being on somebody or the blessing of God being on them. Now, I would hope you wouldn't have to flip a coin to decide, well, I need to figure out which one I want. I'd hope you could do it out a lot easier than that. But I want you to notice, according to what we find here, whether you enjoy blessing or you endure cursing, it's tied to you and what you do. It's to you. So I want to preach to you tonight on cursed or blessed. It's your choice. It's your choice. You say, what do you mean? Well, let's look. Look at verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man. What man? Well, God just arbitrarily picks it. No. It's not what it says. You look at that verse. It said, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. That trusteth in man. And then the second thing, and maketh flesh his arm. And the third thing, whose heart departeth from the Lord. Hey, if you want to be cursed, then trust in man. Just trust men, all right? Go to them. Go looking for what man has to say for you and to you. Check them out, all right? Look to man for your help. What does Oprah say about it? Hey, let's check out what Dr. Phil has to say, okay? Hey, and if you're the older crowd, it was Ann Landers or, you know, Dear Abby. Look, if you want to be cursed, then you put your trust in the opinions and the thoughts and the ideas of man. Go to Facebook, see what it says. Go to Twitter, see what you can find there. Go to the reality shows. Pattern your life after that crowd. Check out the rich and famous, what they say. You'll never cease to be amazed at how the world cares what somebody who happens to be able to sing thinks. Who cares? Why do we care about their opinion about anything? Now, I'm not saying maybe you couldn't enjoy the singing, you know, a little bit. Now, most of it I can't. But anyway, you know, maybe you could, but what difference does it make what they think? Here's this movie star, and they've made a lot of movies. They spent their life making money by being somebody they're not. And we think what they say is important. Crazy. Hey, be careful. We'll say, well, I'm going to trust what my friend says. Hey, you know, check out the advice you get from those sources, would you? You put your trust in man, and oftentimes what you'll get is the curse of God. Because you trusted in man. Trusted him. Trusted what he said. You know? Now, I you say, preacher, you never look online? Yeah, I do. I occasionally am entertained by what I see. And some people put on stuff that's funny and I get a kick out of it. But sometimes I look at it and I think, so what? Who cares? Now, I learned a long time ago it's best if I don't comment. I get in trouble when I comment. So I usually don't say anything, put anything there. But I'm amazed sometimes at the advice we get from man. And people put out, you know, looking for somebody to help them. Be careful. The Bible says cursed is the man. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. You need to realize man's just like you are. Man's just like you. You say, preacher, you too. Yep, me too. Me too. Man's man, all right? People are people. People are people. Sometimes the best place to go for help is not your friends. Not the best. Oftentimes your friends will tell you what they know you want to hear. They'll just tell you what you know they know you want to hear. Now, not always, but oftentimes that's the case. So the Bible said, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. But then notice what it says, all right? In that same verse, and maketh flesh his arm. That is to take the arm of the flesh to be your strength and your protection. You know, just the arm of the flesh, it's all about what man's strength can do. Hey, I can take care of myself. I don't need anybody else. Better be careful. Better be careful making flesh your arm, okay? I'm trusting it in this flesh. Boy, I remind you, verse 9 is in the Bible. The heart's deceitful. That's the flesh. The flesh of man, boy, is deceitful. It's weak. It loves to sin. Be careful about going there and to take and making the arm of the flesh your strength and depending upon it and thinking, man, I can make my own way. I can pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I don't think I can pull myself up an inch by my own bootstraps, all right? Be careful. The Bible says, man, the cursed is the man that trusteth in man and that maketh, you know, the flesh his arm. But notice then what it says also. Whose heart departeth from the Lord. You know, I read that verse and I got to thinking about it. I believe I've known a lot of Christians whose hearts have departed from the Lord for whatever reason. Look, the easiest thing in life to do is get cold. The easiest thing to do in life is to get cold on a spiritual level. That's the easiest thing that can happen to us, all right? You say, what do you have to do? Nothing. That's just it. You don't need to do anything. If you'll do just nothing, you can get cold spiritually. You get away from God. I want to tell you, your relationship with the Lord doesn't remain strong if you don't do anything about it. Just doesn't happen. You're at home and the weather, it's hard for us to even imagine cold weather right now. But, you know, cold weather will come back and that will happen. And you get there and, only in winter does your heater quit working, right? And so it stops and you're waiting on the repair to get there and you think, well, we'll endure it the best we can. Back, what was it, 2 years ago when we had that snap and we had all the, problems with the electrical grid and all that. Man, our house was one that it shut off, nothing. We didn't have any electricity whatsoever. And boy, the temperature in the house began to drop. And it kept dropping. And man, we got under covers and we piled them all. We were trying to stay warm. But it's easy for us in the spiritual realm to get cold because we don't feel that need maybe to put that blanket on. We don't feel that need to draw close to God. Things happen in our life. Sometimes we just get busy. Life can be extremely busy and all these things are going on, you know. And life is churning and it's got a way of doing things. And sometimes it's got a way of slapping you in the face, you know. And we go through life, those things may happen to us. And man, we find ourselves straying away from God. Our hearts have departed from the Lord, okay. Now, when that happens, the Bible talks about, look over in Matthew chapter 15, all right? You may keep your place here in Jeremiah, but Matthew chapter 15. I want to look at a couple of verses here in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 15, look, if you will, in verse 8, all right? Verse 8, Matthew 15, verse 8, the Bible says, this people, and this is the Lord speaking, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips. Oh, but their heart is far from me. Look in Mark chapter 7. The same idea, the same thought, just said just a tad differently. Mark chapter 7, verse 6. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Hey, I'll tell you, it's easy to speak the name of God. It's easy to say the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you can say that, and your heart can be way away from Him, His will, His word. Separate thing. We'll speak His name, but that's it. You know, I sometimes think people love the thought of Jesus. Or they love the thought of God, but they don't love what He loves. And they don't love Him. They don't. Remember what the Bible said in the New Testament? The Bible said in the New Testament, if a man love me, what will he do? He'll keep my commandments. That's what it says in the New Testament. If you love me, it's more than just, oh yeah, I love you. I love you. As a kid growing up, I kept the commandments of my parents because I didn't want a spanking. But as I got older, I didn't keep their commandment because I didn't want a spanking. I kept their commandment because I loved them. Loved them. When your child gets to the point where they'll do what you say and obey, not because of fear of punishment, but simply because they love you, that's when you've got the relationship you want. That's when you've got where you want it to be. But that's our relationship with God. Well, the Bible says, man, you want the curse of God, then you let your heart get away from Him. Hey, if your heart's with Him, you'll love what He loves, you'll hate what He hates. You can't say, well, I love Him, but man, I sure do love what He... No, you can't do that. You can say it, but it's not true. So you've got an option. You want to be cursed? You can be cursed. You trust in man. Trust in Him. I'm going to say this in just a moment on the other side of this coin, but who you trust is who you'll obey. Who you trust is who you'll obey. So let's look at the other side of the coin. Verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Oh man. It's pretty simple, isn't it? You want the blessing of God? Trust Him. Just trust Him. Trust in the Lord. And as I said, you'll obey when you trust. You'll obey when you trust. Can't help it. My favorite illustration of this comes from my uncle and learning to swim. And we lived in Florida at the time. We lived right on the Caloosahatchee River. Big, wide river. Man, it was at least a quarter of a mile wide. And a big river. And we lived right there on the banks of it. There was a dock went out into the water. And I couldn't swim. My uncle was down visiting. And he had his two boys with him. And all four of us guys were in there swimming. And where, you know, we like to jump in the water, so we're on the dock jumping in the water. Well, my uncle's standing in water about this deep. Well, this deep on him is this deep on me. And so he said, hey, jump here, I'll catch you. I trusted him. I don't know why I did after this, but so I trusted him, and I obeyed him. I jumped in, and when I came up, he had moved. He wasn't standing right there anymore. Told people at his funeral he taught me to swim. Not that I wanted to learn, but he forced me to learn, okay? We trust. We obey the ones we trust. To trust in the Lord. You say, what do you mean trusting in the Lord? Let me just give you a few things, specifics, if you will. Trust in His person. Trusting in His person. Hey, it's the person of Jesus Christ that came to this earth. Took upon Himself the form of a servant. The Bible said He was made in the likeness of men. And then He lived a sinless life. Then He offered Himself as a substitutionary sacrifice to pay for our sin. He took the sin of man upon His own body. And He carried that sin to that tree. And He died for you and me. That was the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That individual. We need to trust in His person. Hey, you say, what do you mean? Well, one thing, you just believe he's real, he exists. Now, there's a lot of people in the world who say, well, He doesn't exist. Could I just say this? There's tons of evidence he existed, He was real. You say, well, it's just in the Bible. No, it's way beyond that. Now, I don't know about you, but it's enough for me the Bible says it. It's enough for me that the Bible says it. But I want to trust in His person. Then, if you really trust in His person, trust His promise. Trust His promise. Every promise in this book is good. Every promise in this book is good. You want blessing? Then learn to take Him at His promise. Some of them are conditional. They're conditional. If you do this, then I'll do that. I'll do that. They're conditional promises. But trust His promise. Trust His promise, whatever it is. There's some that are very simple. We go, I'll test that. Hey, it's amazing to me how many people say, well, we're kind of like Peter when the Lord asked the disciples, are you going to go away? And Peter said, well, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Hey, there's nowhere else to go for eternal life. There is just nowhere else. He said, if you'll come unto me, you call upon me, I'll give you eternal life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, I'll give you that. That is a promise. Now it's conditional. You got to call. He doesn't come along and stamp it on your forehead, saved. No, you got to call. You have to call upon Him. But He says, if you call, I'll save you. That's a simple thing. And when it comes to eternal life, let's face it, where else are we going to go? Mohammed, there's no promise of eternal life. Buddha, there's no promise of eternal life. Hindu gods, there's no promise of eternal life. None of them. No promise. It's only in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only in the God of this book where we have the promise, okay? Eternal life. But it's amazing to me, we'll trust him there, but then we won't trust him with other things. We just won't take him at his word and say, okay, Lord, you say it, I'll do it. You know, he said, if you'll take up your cross and follow me, if you'll do it, I'll bless you. You know, we go on and, you know, if you'll give, I'll bless you. Trust his promise. Just trust in the Lord. To trust in him is to trust his person, is to trust his promise, but it's also to trust in his prescriptions. He said, what in the world are you talking about? Well, we know what a prescription is, right? We go to the doctor, we call the doctor, and we said, here's my symptoms. Usually if I go into the doctor, I can tell him, here's what's going on. I'm pretty sure this is what's wrong. And many times I've had him said, yep, I think that's what it is. I say, couldn't we have saved all this? You know, but anyway, and then what he'll do, he scribbles something on a piece of paper. Or you get it from the office and they have it written out. Or they'll now, of course they don't give you a piece of paper anymore, they call it in. But they call in that prescription, all right? And it's something he tells you, take this, do this, do this. Hey, trust his prescriptions. So what do you mean? Trust what he says and just do it. Just do it. What do you mean? Well, the way to get is to give. The way to get to give. If you want to have friends, be friendly. Be friendly. Just that simple. The way up is down. You say, where does it say that? Well, the Bible said if you want to be exalted, then learn to submit yourself. He said if you'll submit yourself, he'll exalt you in due time. So the way up is down. Now those are things we trust his prescription. If we want the blessing of God, trust him. Trust what he says. Do what he says. But there's one other thing there in Jeremiah 17, verse 7. There's one other thing there. He says, blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord. But then it says, and whose hope the Lord is. If you want to be blessed, then the Lord needs to be your hope. There's a song we often sing in the songbook. It says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. That's where hope is. That's where hope is. I want to say this to you. Your hope should not be in a coming election. It should not be in a coming election. Your hope should not be in any government edict, any government entity. It's not there. Hey, look, the child of God, you want the blessing of God. Our hope is in him. Our hope is in him. Two ways. I look at it this way. My hope for living is in him. My hope for living is him. Everything's going to be all right. Everything. I got this strange philosophy. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. And it'll just be okay. And hey, he'll take care of me. He'll take care of me. Just believe it. Take your Bible, New Testament, 1 John. Now hold your place there in Jeremiah. We're coming back, okay? Jeremiah, 1 John chapter 3, all right? I'm going to read a couple of verses, and then we'll go in another place and read a verse, and we'll talk about them, all right? 1 John chapter 3, look at verse 1. Behold, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now. You hear that word, now? Now are ye the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Notice verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. When is that hope for? Well, when I die. No. It's now. Now. It's a hope for right now. Okay? It's not, everybody's got this crazy idea, I think, a lot of times, that all of Christianity is preparation for death and that's it. No, man, the hope of the child of God is for living. It's for living. It's for living this life right here. Look, if you will, in Philippians chapter 1, all right? Philippians chapter 1. Take a look at a verse, all right? Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse 20. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so, here's that three-letter word again, now. So now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Hey, hope for living. Hope for living. Right now. Right now. Hey, right now, we're called the sons of God. We're in the family. We're in the family. That's a pretty good thing, you know? Now, the world's eye, they would love to be in the family of some extremely over-the-top wealthy individual. Everything I wanted to be taken care of, I would have all my desires, everything, you know. Look, it'll ruin you. That'll ruin you. You'll be worthless. As worthless as you can be. But, hey, can I say this? As in the family of God, every need's taken care of. Every need's taken care of. He said, I'll take care of you. I'll take you. I'm in the family. Okay, I'm in the family. I can go to the Father and say, Lord, I need something. Could you help me? I can let my request be made known. You can too. Why? You're in the family. I want to tell you, that's hope for living right now, all right? And I don't want to be ashamed in this life, but that man in this life, the Lord might be glorified and magnified through my life. Now, can I say this to you? That does not mean you go through life saying, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, Jesus is number one, he's number one, I'm saved. You don't have to do that. Matter of fact, I'd sort of encourage you not to, all right? But your daily life, he's magnified in it. The way you meet the things that come to you. The way you handle the challenges that come your way, that in him, he might be glorified. He might be glorified. That he might be magnified through our life. What a blessing. Think about that. It's hope for living. I've got a purpose to live. My purpose to live is not to amass a lot of money so I can retire and enjoy life, you know, until I die. No, and leave it all. No, that's not my purpose for living. I've got a purpose for living. My purpose for living is to serve him. That ought to be your purpose in living. Now, that doesn't mean you won't work a job in some professional field, all right? Or some unprofessional field. Just a common, ordinary laborer. Nothing to be ashamed of. Hey, but in that life, I'm serving him. I'm serving him. You know, constantly in my life, I we ought to have this great desire. Let me show you how you're to live. Let me show you how it is to live a victorious life. How it is to be able to overcome things. It's not, the idea is not, well, if I live for him, I'll never have a problem. No. You're going to have those problems. They'll come up. They'll come up. We don't just have that genie in the bottle and we pray and he makes everything go away. I admit to you now with this kidney stone situation, I wish it was that way, all right? But it's not. We're to glorify him that he might be magnified, that people could look at us and say, man, They got something I don't have. There's something in their life that, boy, they can handle life. It's hope for living. Hope for living. But then it's hope for leaving. Hope for leaving. Back in the New Testament, all right? Don't lose your place in Jeremiah. We're coming back, all right? Look, if you will, in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. A familiar verse, and I get excited every time I read it. I'll be honest with you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no, see that word? No hope. No. You hear me? We've got hope for leaving. We got hope for leaving. We're going to leave this world one of these days. We're going to leave it. You're not going to live here forever. You're going to leave this world. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it's leading up talking about the rapture, when God's going to come and take everyone that's His and we'll be raptured out. Can I say this to you? That's the way I want to go. Amen. That's the way I want to go. I'm not excited about riding in that hearse out to the cemetery. This old body being put in that coffin and you know, carried out there, lowered into the ground. Not excited, but wait a minute, even in that, there's hope, okay? There's hope for leaving. Look in Titus. You're in 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. Look in Titus chapter 2, would you? Titus chapter 2, verse 13 again, all right? Looking for that blessed hope. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're looking for that. Hey, it's not just hope for living, but it's hope for leaving. Our hope is in Him. Man, what a blessing that brings to you. What a blessing that brings to you. I've stood at the graveside of my dad. I've stood at the graveside of hundreds of people. But I'll draw it down. I've stood at the graveside of Dad. And I've watched as they lowered that body. And I've watched as they covered it up. But I just want to tell you something. There were no tears. There were no tears shed. Because I watched that and I thought, that's Dad's body. But that ain't him. Amen. That ain't him. Same thing is said about my mom's. I've stood there. But the hope is not, well, that's it. No. The hope is, hey, there is the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior. He's coming back. He's coming back, all right? Those that have died in Christ, they're coming with Him. I looked at that. I'm looking for them to see Him. And it's not just parents. Man, it's friends. I remember... Man, this is a long time ago now. Burying my cousin. My cousin, he was about 9 or 10 years old when he died. And he had cancer. And I remember standing there thinking, boy, he's gone. He's been gone a long time. But I look forward to one day see him again. Look forward to see him again. That's a blessed hope. It's hope for leaving. Hope for leaving. You know, when life gets oppressive, I can say, it's all right, one of these days we're going to leave this mess down here. One of these days we're going to leave this mess. Hey, you want the blessing of God? Trust in the Lord. He'll do it. And the Lord's your hope. The Bible said, blessed is that man. I want you to go back to Jeremiah chapter 17. Notice what the Bible says. If you wind up and you trust in man, you wind up cursed. What's the destination? What can you look forward to? Verse 6. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabited. A dry place. a parched place, a salted land. Can I tell you something? That's not where I want to live. That is not where I want to live. I like grass. I like green grass. You know, I don't like the heat. I don't like the dryness. Well, the Bible said that's the destination. That's what that cursed man has to look forward to. But look at verse 8. Here's the blessed man. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Hey, the blessed man finds himself planted in the place that he can stand the drought. Because he's got some roots that are down, and they're down deep enough they can always get to water. They can always find it there. The Bible says even in the drought it doesn't bother him. It's not a problem. Can I say this to you? In this life you'll go through some dry valleys. You'll go through some tough times. But if you've got those roots sunk the way they should, and you're trusting in the Lord, your hope is in Him, He can get you through that. He can get you through that. And then did you see that last part? You'll never cease from yielding fruit. Always be fruitful. Always be fruitful. I ask you tonight, where do you want to live? Where do you want to live? You want to live cursed by God? Or you want to live blessed by God? Well, preacher, I'm just struggling. I'm just having to, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Where you decide to live. It's how you decide to live. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? How are you going to handle life? Going to put your trust in man, or you're going to put your trust in God? No, I'm the arm of the flesh. Oh, not me. If one thing I know I'm weak. Don't want to put the arm. I don't want my heart to depart from the Lord. My hope's in Him. So where you want to live? It's your choice. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you to help us tonight.